Before I begin this morning, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Reverend Smoke and Pastor Holzclaw for the invitation to share in worship leadership this morning. It's always a treat for me to worship in a church within the bounds of Charleston Atlantic Presbytery, and I'm especially grateful to have that experience with you this morning. When Reverend Smoke asked me to preach, he shared that you are hearing the last words of Christ during Lent. And for this Sunday, the text is, my God, why have you forsaken me? As I began to explore these few words found in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, I found myself backing up just a few verses and adding them to the text to be read. And I did that about three times in an effort to give you more of the full scope of this text. So our reading this morning is from the 27th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 32nd verse. Listen now to the word of the Lord. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry the cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads, saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priest also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, please. Spirit of the living Lord, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living Lord, fall afresh on all who are here this morning, allowing the words that are spoken and the words that are heard to be your words and not our own. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A number of weeks ago, it was in the early evening, I received a text message from dear friends who live in San Francisco that were asking for prayers. The text informed me that their adult daughter, Kate, who is a wife and a mother of an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, was skiing in Tahoe and was missing because of an avalanche. I did pray, and after a restless night, in the early, early hours of the next morning, another text came through that said that Kate was, in fact, one of the victims of the Tahoe avalanche. My God, why have you forsaken me? That had to be the cry of those parents. Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy, abducted during the night about 6 weeks ago. As you know, Nancy Guthrie is 84 years old, and many of us have lived that out through the news over the last number of weeks. I know that I am not the only person who has imagined my late mother when in her elderly life being abducted. And it's a terrifying thought. 6 weeks into this investigation, there's little known about the abductor, and there's nothing known about Nancy Guthrie, her health, or well-being. My God, why have you forsaken me? This had to have been the cry of Nancy Guthrie's children at some point during these past 6 weeks. By the time we enter today's scripture, Jesus has been on trial before the governor. He's been mocked, flogged, and spat upon. He's been hung on a cross between two bandits to meet his death. This is Jesus. This is the same one that people have been following, climbing trees to get a glimpse of him, attempting to walk on water to be part of his following. This is the Jesus that fed the multitudes, healed the sick, allowed the blind to see. And suddenly, he's been betrayed and abandoned by most of his followers. And this same Jesus, known for his teaching and his preaching, has become silent. Just a few days before these events, he overturned the temple tables, proclaiming the temple as a house of prayer and not a place for money changing. The next day, he entered the temple to teach, criticizing the practices of the religious leaders. Yet this scripture gives us a Jesus unwilling to plead his case before the governor, unwilling to cry out to his deserters. In some ways, it's difficult to connect the crucifixion story with the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Or maybe that's just me. Maybe that is my personal desire to disassociate the horrors of the crucifixion story from the Jesus who influenced so many lives and continues to influence lives 2,000 years later. And I wish I could tell you that these horrible things that happened to Jesus did not really happen. But I can't do that because they did happen. It's important to remember that crucifixion was a standard practice in Jesus' day, and for the Romans, crucifixion was much like a sport. They were always done publicly and typically in the hottest part of the day. Publicly to add to the humiliation and the hottest part of the day to allow more extreme torture. The Romans had really perfected the act of crucifixion. It's reported that at some point in early history, the Romans ran out of lumber because there were so many crucifixions. During the day, it was the death sentence standard for criminals. But Jesus is not a criminal. He's innocent of all charges. Not only that, Jesus knew God, and God knew Jesus. Jesus would spend days alone in conversation with God. And if we go back to the story of Jesus' baptism, we're reminded that when Jesus came out of the Jordan River, a voice from the heavens said, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Later in the scriptures, we know that Jesus went up to the mountain with Peter, James, and John and was transfigured. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And in today's text, the only voices heard are from the crowd jeering, "Jesus, King of the Jews, if you are who you say you are, come down from the cross." And there is silence. There are no words from Jesus, no rebuttal, and there's nothing from God. Finally, after a number of hours, Jesus cries out to God in a dawning plea, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And God is silent. If there was ever a time he needed to be reminded who he was, it was right now. Yet at the very end of his life, Jesus finds himself isolated and helpless. And his cry comes from Psalm 22, a cry of utter despair and desolation. The desperate cry was lost in a crowd of those preoccupied with money and power. They're fearful of change and determined that their way is the only way because they're arrogant and they refuse to accept new possibilities and ideas. We're challenged to remember and to reflect upon the past, to learn from past history and avoid the same mistakes. We're called to the cross of the crucified Jesus, whose painful cry is a call to embolden us, to embolden and empower us, you and me, to stand with those who suffer. Jesus' cry was his alone on that dreadful day, yet it's the cry of millions of others suffering, feeling isolated and desolate in whatever the situation is. Truthfully, in one way or another, at some point, everyone has or will ask the question, "Why have I been forsaken? Why have you forsaken me? Why is this happening to me?" Think of the innocent people this has affected, and I don't understand why. We may say. These questions are all very human, and it's human nature to ponder and ask such things. The Psalms raise the question repeatedly. In Psalm 13, we hear, "How long, O God, will you forget me forever? How long must I bear pain in my soul?" Psalm 60 asks, "O God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses." And we know Job adds his voice, "How long will you torment me and break me in pieces? Are you not ashamed to wrong me? I call out, but there is no justice," says Job. There's deep pain in these voices of those feeling forsaken by God. We're called to remember this desperate plea as we move around the world as present-day disciples. Let us remember to not forget that whatever happens in our own lives has already happened to Jesus. Whatever our suffering is, Jesus has already suffered. Whatever life gives us, Jesus has already experienced it. We are never alone in our suffering, and we will never experience pain without Christ suffering it with us. This past week, I spoke to my friends from San Francisco, and they are able to have conversations with intermittent tears now instead of the constant stream of tears as it was at the beginning. It turns out they're planning Kate's memorial service, and toward the end of the conversation, I told them I knew I was a great distance away from them, and in light of the distance, what could I take off of their plate? What could I help them with? Pam quickly replied, "Just my broken heart." Jesus cries out to God, and God alone has the final judgment as Jesus is declared dead. And let us remember and never forget that God reverses the status quo and raises Jesus from the dead, declaring life and love of God and neighbor. May we remember that we know the rest of the story. We are Easter people, and we believe in resurrection and eternal life. Friends, we are never promised a life with no pain and suffering, but we are promised a companion during our pain and suffering. May we always remember. To God be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.